and it's official for Tunisia in this land. We choose this topic to be the topic that we have discussion today because of its importance. Here we are in a complex society like Bali. We are people who walk a door of the empire, but from different cultural backgrounds, and we are held by force or by the condition of our status to live together with others, our perspective of other men, who are equally of different cultural backgrounds and upbringings. Our rights and their rights exist. The purpose of our rights is to perfect with unity. Whether we drive with our offices, in our place of guests and what have you. Let us not be ignorant or be carried away by what is obtained in the house of our neighbor, who didn't share the same fate with us. And unfortunately, this is what is in most cases obtained. Whether our wives do the bullet, from what they see our neighbors do, or whether us, the proper, the bullet, from what we do see from our neighbors. Therefore, this is a great opportunity for all of us, the husband, wife, and even our daughters and children and sons, to listen attentively and learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about you as a husband, a Muslim husband, and a youth. And not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about you as a wife and a Muslim wife. And this leader that we so much talk about, when you come to Italia, we talk about leader. When we come to work, we talk about leader. What is leader? And what is the same form position of this leader in this class? We are all also not talking about this. Before I invite our guest speaker, Romana, I have to remind you that there is a sweet actual event topic in the calendar of the event. This topic is supposed to be in the next 2 weeks. And the topic of today would have been rejected last week, actually. But maybe you have not opportunity to look at the program and see. We have this feature because the madam who said the topic of today has something or has a dual engagement. And based on their contact agreement with our madam, they agreed that she is going to take over the total period that is today and deliver the topic. And on the day we have taken Anna, he is coming to say that the support lecturer of today will now take over. I hope you got the point. And this lecture is designed to be delivered in English. For our children who may not understand or grasp what the mother says, please hear the word. And we teach us our way by trying to restore from what the mother says. I don't know if we were that all of us would understand that they did not much. Without taking much of the time, I want to invite our guest speaker, Madam Umar Yagafayo, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and giving him the wisdom and knowledge. May Allah give him the ability to carry out what Allah has assigned him to do. That is a telling event from Allah to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madam Safarda.
The ideal Muslim Taqwa,
and why. First of all, it is important for us to understand what a Muslim is. So that if we understand what a Muslim is, then we will be able to have an idea as to who a Muslim husband will be, what he will be like. And then the Muslim wife too. First of all, Islam is simply total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total submission. Meaning that anybody who decides to become a Muslim must testify to the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it would pause. Maybe it would pause until my show, the sister Kalia. Allah alone knows everything before it happens, before it was even initiated. And Allah alone has the duty of sustaining everything that exists. And Allah alone has in His hand the life and the termination of it, of the life of everything that exists on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِاللَّهِ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the Muslim through this ayah. And he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, that verily my prayer or my salah wa nusuki and my sacrifices for all the acts of worship that I engage in, wa mahyaya, my living as a whole, wa mamati, and my death, lillahi rabbil alameen, and for Allah, the center and nourisher of the universe, of the world. Last of all, Allah has no partner in all of these. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ, and with this I have been commanded, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I am the first of those who submit to Allah concerning all of this. So to every generation a prophet was sent, and the prophet is always the first person to submit to all the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He comes to mankind with. And so in his generation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his Ummah Abdullah, ask him to say, أَنَا أَوْمُرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am the first to submit. So the fact that this every act of ibadah that the Muslim engages in, and the living of the Muslim as a whole, that is the way the Muslim dresses, the way the Muslim looks, the things that the Muslim must look at, the way the Muslim eats, and the things that the Muslim must eat, and how he must eat them, and how he must obtain them, the way the Muslim drinks, the hands that he drinks with, the kind of drink that he takes, what he avoids in drink, all be the way the Muslim fast, the way the Muslim pray, the way the Muslim walk, the way the Muslim marry, and the way the Muslim divorces. All of his life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His death is also in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslim submits all those to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes that nobody has a part in all of these. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that he is the first to show this life. That's why you will find that Islam does not leave behind any aspect of life. The Kafirun used to say, man is having a kidnapping, now you have to be a that in the Noah, in the Mizan, in their scale, there was nothing they did except that that was recorded. That is what the Quran said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qaf, if I'm not mistaken, this is in Surah Al-Qaf, that there are angels that are attached to each of us. One is by your left, one is by your right. Everything you do is important. I am going in the name of people. There is nothing you will say. Even when you're cracking jokes, those angels will write down everything you say. Everything. The things you say as a matter of joke, the things you say serious things, the things you say for the sake of saying them, the evil that you say, the good that you say, everything was written. And those angels that are given that job are so close to you that they hear nothing about you that they miss. Because the angels were not created to see. So even when you see the angels are gathering, watching over you, to see what you are going to do and do right. There is no way a Muslim's life, even a split second of it, will be left behind without it being recorded. Even when you go to the Kaaba, and your sisters are believing, and you go to the black store, and kiss it on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the black soul hearing and will give it the ability to talk. So that it will say, I recognize this person, he came and kissed me, he came and did so and so, he pushed somebody while trying to kiss me, he hit somebody while trying to kiss me, he hit somebody's pocket. The soul, Allah will give life. Allah will give the ability to think, give it sight, and He will give it the ability to talk, so that anything will bear witness to all that you did around it. So that the Muslim knows, the Muslim is that person who realizes that every split second of his life is not joking, is not taken for granted. It is recorded and he will account for it on the day of resurrection. So if there is no such thing as an aspect of your life being ignored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is secular, there is no difference between your material and your spiritual life. There is no difference between you when you're playing football and you when you are performing salah. You are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has everything you do recorded at every time. So there is no leisure time for the Muslim. Every moment you spend will have to be in accordance with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are lots of times when you put your deen by the side. dan berpesan, we must first realize this, that this is who a Muslim is. Islam has to become for play, but the way you play is dictated by Islam. Even when you are playing, even when you are joking, the way you joke is dictated by Islam. The way you make love to your wife, Islam is interested in it. There is a way you make love to your wife, you will be rewarded for it, because you are coming to Allah in submission. You see, everything we do in this world is an act of worship, because we are only obeying Allah's plan. Allah has created the earth for a woman in every man. So if a man gets interested in a woman, he is actually worshiping Allah. But how does he translate his interest in the woman? That's what will determine whether he decides to wait the opportunity to worship Allah, and instead he now uses it to sin against Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have the earth, you are only worshiping Allah because it's Allah that has placed the earth in you. But how do you dissipate it? That is what becomes the problem. Then you decide either to worship Allah or to sin against Allah. Allah has already said, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْجَادٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حُطَامًا سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already mentioned that He created every human being from the mixed sperm of man and woman. And then He did all of that as a trial. Because if He brings you to this world, He has brought you to try you. And the prayer is He gave you life and He gave you heaven. That is, He gave you the capacity to assimilate all that you see, all that you touch, all that you hear, all that you taste. He gives you the capacity to assimilate, and then He gives you the criterion, so that you are able to know that this is good and this is bad. He has given you all that to test you. So see, who out of human beings will be grateful, will use all those capacities in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to see who will not use those to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are grateful, Allah will increase your bounty, will increase your provision. If you are ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce you to the lowest of the low. So I'm preparing our minds for the topic that we have to discuss, and that is the ideal Muslim husband. So who is a Muslim? In a nutshell, that is a Muslim. So if a Muslim now gets to the level that he needs a wife and he wants to marry, what makes him the ideal husband? What makes him in the first place qualified to be given a wife? If a sister sees a man, it's permissible for her, and she admires the person, it's permissible for her to make the first move and to let the person know that she wants him as a husband. The way she lets him know in Islam is different from the way the non-Muslim woman will let the man know. I've already prepared our minds that Muslim is different from any other person. Therefore, Islam has provision for how she will let the man know that she has an interest in him. But as a Muslim, it's okay for her to indicate interest in the man she has seen. Vice versa, if a man sees a woman or a girl that he admires, it's permissible for him to make him know that he admires that girl. How will he do it? Islam has provision. So, let's start with the other man. Since our other man has started with متفق مع الصيف او حجرين ممكن اكبر عن زائد واحد. الله تذكر اسم القرآن للدور يقول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام الدكتور محمود عليه الصلاة والسلام he found himself in a particular area وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى حتى يجب أن يرى on his way because his entire life was on the earth on his way he found in a particular area in a particular setting whether a village or town or city, he found some people at the well fetching water. And then he saw some girls who could not fetch because they were too weak to lift the stone, to go through the rivers of fetching the water. They were too weak. There were other people they were competing with, and those ones were just too strong for them. And so he saw that those girls were not able to fetch. So he came and asked the girls to give way. They gave way. He used his friend, Nabi Musa was a very strong man. The Prophet of Allah was created very, very strong because they were not ordinary mortals. At the time that the Sahaba were working on the trenches, there was a stone which nobody could crack, not even a single crack could be broken from the stone. People tried and tried and nobody could do it. And the Prophet came and said, give me the axe. He was given the axe, he hit the stone one, and the stone turned into hell. The stone turned into rock. Just why? By the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes! He never used his hand to strike any human being except doing war. He never hit anybody. He never beat his wife. He never beat his child. As the Malik was reporting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hit any human being with his hand except doing battle. But in the house, no matter how much of it was there, he was not somebody who was raise his hand and hit his wife, subhanAllah. If you're throwing off him, go out, meet men like you, watch him and hit them. And see what will happen to you. But no, if it's a woman, any man who hits, who slaps his wife, is a weak man. He does not deserve a wife. Yes, we actually do not deserve women if we hit them just because they are loyal. I mean, because are you saying to be strong if you crack an egg or if you crack a stone? When is a man saying to be strong? When he cracks an egg or when he breaks stone? If you are able to cause a crack in a stone, you are strong. If you are able to use your hand and break blocks, and break your jaw. But if you use your hand to break an egg, then every child can do that. A woman is an egg compared to the man. So if you are able to beat her, you haven't achieved anything. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam was there and asked them to step aside. And then he fetched the water for them. He went through all the river. And after he had done that, they expressed their gratitude to him. But they saw that he wasn't interested in their gratitude. That he had done what he did for the sake of Allah. And he didn't need to be, you know, to clarify in any way. He actually didn't want anybody to say thank you. He didn't actually do it so that anybody would show appreciation. You know what we do these days? If you do somebody a favor and the person does not show gratitude, you say, why? Can you imagine that guy? He did this and that and that and did so much for him and not even thank you? I remember I heard the story of somebody who sent somebody around during the last celebration.
Were being lifted by the wind.
and sometimes he would clean their feet. Their feet. SubhanAllah, what we see now is the waste. We see the waste, we see the lack. Sometimes we almost see a woman's private part now. We see the breast every time. No matter how holy you have seen a woman's breast who is not your wife. There's nothing you can do about it. When you see it once, you can take off your eyes. But once, you must see every day you leave your home. Nabi Musa was seeing their feet and he didn't like that. So he said, wait. He said to the girl, wait, and the waiter. He said, let me be in front. If I am missing my way, make an indication that I'm missing my way and tell me which way to go. I don't want to have any contact. I don't want to be able to see anything of you. So he went in front and he put them behind. And then they were moving. So if a Muslim is moving with an ajnabiya, that is how it will be. It will completely make it impossible for him to see anything in her which may attract, you know, into her. Unless he wants to marry that one. But then there were two girls there. He couldn't have been thinking of marrying all of them together because they were sisters. So he was in front and he put them behind. And then they were moving. If he was going to miss the way, they would indicate. And some of them are saying that by throwing a stone or something to indicate to him this is the way to go. Until they go to the house. And when they go to the house, the girl told their father about Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a report which says that their father was actually Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam. There is nothing authentic to indicate that he was Nabi Shu'aib. It's not authentically reported at all, so we will just leave it as a silent man among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have any authentic text to point to the father, to point to his personality. But you are a very pious man. Old and noble man. So they told him about Nabi Musa. And one of them showed that he actually admired Nabi Musa. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And when she was going to say the things that she admired about him, she didn't mention his handsomeness. She didn't mention his wealth. She didn't mention all that. So she didn't say, oh, he has a beautiful car, he has a fantastic house, he has a nice job, his skin is glowing, he must be very rich. You know, these are the things that women look out for these days. Etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَلَا قَنَاطِيرُ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. الله سبحانه وتعالى also said, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولعب وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون فقاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان. What is the end of that? I can't remember the end of that. Okay, at least we have said most of it. These are the concluding parts that we forgot. So, and there are so many ayahs in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the fact that the life of this world is unimportant. Unimportant in the sense that it is compared to the life of the hereafter, it is almost worthless. But it's important is that You'll need this world to get to the next world. That is important. But the beautiful things that you see here are nothing compared to their life in the hereafter. If you see a beautiful woman in this world, if you see the one that is beautiful in the hereafter, you will forget that you ever saw a beautiful woman. It will be the first time you're seeing beauty, because you will realize that the beauty you thought you saw here was the peak of ugliness. If you see the beauty in the hereafter. If you were attracted to food, you know some of us eat like termites. Especially in this month of Ramadan, if you see a Muslim breaking his fast, it will think that the whole battalion is supposed to eat that food. And then you look for the person eating, he is the only one. There are cheese and eggs and chicken and orange and pineapples and everything to eat in this world. And then he eats and eats and eats. If that is what you are interested in, on the day of resurrection, if you get to Al-Jannah and see food there, you will forget that there was ever food in this world. So, it's not the attractive things in this world that the Muslim is concerned about. The Muslim is more concerned about how he can use his life here to gain the life of the hereafter, which is better than the one we have here. Human beings naturally have an attraction, like Allah said in that ayah where he told to Al-Iqra'. Naturally human beings have an attraction to, you know, beautiful things in this world. Their desire. The things they desire are all an-nikah, women. And Allah started with women, because Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that the greatest fitna that he is leaving behind for his ummah is women. And you can see how women are turning this world around today. You can see how the greatest problem that the world is encountering today is in a woman. It started in the relationship between man and woman. And that if there had not been illicit sex, that problem would not have existed. And that's a problem of HIV. There are other STDs that are also actually destroying this world. Like the hepatitis, it is also sexually transmitted. And so many other things like that. There are sickness in the world. There are wars happening over women for those who do not have control of themselves. But those girls, the particular girl who picked an interest in Nabi Musa, was not interested in his wealth. She never mentioned the fact that the guy was rich. She didn't mention the fact that he was from a noble family. She didn't mention any of that. She said to her father, "Oh father, you have animals that need to be tended. I have animals that should graze, and you need somebody to take care of them for you. Ya abatis ta'jur, inna khayra manis ta'jur kal kawiyu amin." She said, "Oh father, enter into a contract with him. Give him a job, let him look after your animals. Let him be your shepherd. Because the best person to become your shepherd is first of all the man who is strong. And then an Amin, the man who is trustworthy. The man whose religion you can trust. That is the best person to hold as a cook. That is the best person to make your driver. That is the best person to become your, is it Batman you call it? That's the best person to hold as that. If you're bringing anybody close to you, that person first of all should be a hard working man. I mean, how would you feel? If you saw a man walking like this, and walking and breathing like this, and what do you think of it? You either say, probably this man is sick, or this man is gay. Maybe he's a homosexual, behaving like a woman. I don't think any woman in her right senses would be attracted to such a man that would be walking like a woman. Because if you marry him, then both of you will be women in the house. To be a woman marrying a woman. So who takes care of who? So the woman must be interested in the fact that the man who is about to become her husband is a hard-working man. It doesn't matter if he doesn't have anything in his hands now, because the video Musa has nothing. She was asking her father to let the video Musa, alayhi salatu wa salam, you know, take care of his animal. If you're giving somebody the contract to take care of your animal, of course it means the person is not rich. Do you take a rich man and say, go and take care of my animals and I pay you every month? No. So he had nothing, but the girl was standing for him, looking for a job. He had no job, and the girl wanted a job for him because she liked him. Why did she like him? Because he's a strong man. He is a man who actually behaves like a man, not like a woman. He has the ability to fetch food. If he's given an opportunity to work, he will work hard. So that's the first thing. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'min qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. This hadith is taken in two ways. The first one is, the mu'min who is al-qawi is physically strong. One who is hardworking, one who is agile, one who has some ferocity in his approach to all that he knows. This is al-mu'min al-qawi. The second and the most important meaning is that his faith is strong. His faith is very strong. He is ready to part with everything he has got for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very strong mu'min. If you combine these two together, you get an almost perfect mu'min. So a Muslim who is like this is better than a Muslim who is weak. He's a mu'min, alright. He's not as much as possible to worship Allah, but he has some weaknesses. He has some weaknesses. The first one is better and more loved by Allah than the second one. What we call him faith, what in each of them they good. Allah loves both of them because they haven't anything as a perfect Muslim or a perfect human being. But we are stronger than each other, and the stronger we get in our faith and in our industry, the more Allah loves us. So your faith is very strong, but you're always in the mosque. You don't go to fetch any food. You don't go to do any work. You just stay in the mosque and worship and worship. Allah likes the fact that you worship, but He hates the fact that you do not take care of yourself. So that makes you a weak Muslim on that ground. So the girl was attracted to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam because of his industry. So the man, the ideal husband, is the one who is up and doing. It was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari that one night the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hungry and there was no food in his house. So he went out to see how he was fetch food. As he was walking along, he saw Abu Bakr just a day. Abu Bakr also had the same problem. The Prophet asked him and he said, that was his own problem. They all went and then they saw Omar. Omar also said, that's my problem. And they went together. They went to the house of one Sahabi. They got to the house and then they said to them, the woman from inside answered and said, Abu Bakr was not around. Where did he go? She said, he has gone to fetch water. He has gone to bring the water that they would use at home. What does that tell you? How do we behave these days? Most of the time, it's our women that go to fetch the water that we drink. True or false? That means we are not ideal husbands. That means we are not ideal husbands. Because that is our responsibility. The woman was in the house, and the man has gone to fetch the water that the woman would stay in the house and use. So, the first thing about the Muslim husband is that he is a very responsible person. He takes care of everything that goes on in the house. No matter how much your wife is making, it is your responsibility to feed her, to clothe her, to take care of her health and those of the children, to do everything that she needs on her behalf. And if there is a bomb landing in the house and is going to destroy one head, you will give your own head and save your wife. That's the man. If there is a hyena coming, you lock the woman and the children in the house and face it. You take care of the danger on their behalf. You know what we have on Monday there? If a frog jumps into the room, it will be the woman that will actually face the frog before she knows the man is out of the room. And then he will leave the woman with the frog. A security man was hired in our house one time. He was interested in Nabi Musa because she had seen that he had that quality. That they would be safe in the house if they had a husband like that, because he's a strong person, he has determination, and he has the heart to help out people who are weak. So that's the ideal husband. If you're a leader, and the Prophet says, if you're a husband, you're a leader. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. The husband, all of you are shepherds, and each of you will be asked concerning his sheep. And he said, every husband is a shepherd to his wife, just like the wife is also a shepherd to the husband. There are things to take care of for your husband, and there are things to take care of for your wife. And you'll be asked concerning how you took care of all of that. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how leaders are supposed to behave. One day he was sitting with the Sahaba and they heard a loud sound by the outskirts of town. And he said, everybody stay where you are. I, as your leader, will go and see what it is. If it's going to destroy this town, I offer myself as sacrifice so that I will save you. That's the leader. So if you're a husband, that's what you are to your wife. That's the ideal Muslim husband. Secondly, the woman said, Al-Amin, his religion, she was interested in. Because they were in front of him, they knew the reason why he went in front and put them behind. Because he was somebody who was not interested in zina. He was somebody who had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't even realize who he was as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only saw him as just a servant of Allah who was very pious. And so the fact that the man was not a zani meant that the man could be trusted. Because if any man can protect himself from zina, then most of our other vices you are sure that that man will protect himself from. For instance, do you expect somebody who does not commit zina, even when he has the chance to, do you expect such a person to drink alcohol? Do you expect? You don't. Do you expect such a person to be a thief? Huh? It's not expected. If he becomes a thief, it's surprising. If he can control his urge for women, he can control his urge for most other things. Most of the attractions in the world. Tell me, what is it that you think a man gets attracted to more than a woman? maybe you will pay money, but I tell you, if there were no women, women would not, men would not be looking for money the way they do now. Huh? Is that right? And most of the time, to a large extent, that is correct. That is how it is. Without women, this world wouldn't have been the way it is. Our attraction wouldn't have been like this. Probably none of us would care to even wear anything good. Tell yourself the truth. You're not dressing well for men to see, are you? Huh? Are you? Are you dressing well for men to see? What do you gain if a man says your dress is good? So, if you can conquer your attraction to a woman, then you can conquer your attraction to so many other feminine. And so, the girl was attracted to him because he was the man who had the ability to control his urge, to control his attraction. And she knew that, yes, this was a man to marry, this was a trustworthy person, this was a man who feared Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually told us that people marry for different reasons. But he said the best reason is to marry for the sake of Allah, to marry for religion. For religion. Umm Sulaym, radiallahu anha, after she embraced Islam, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all separated from her husband because he had refused to embrace Islam, and automatically she said she couldn't marry him since he was a Muslim, so she separated from him. And there was a moving casting of lots on the children, or the children were given a choice. Who do you want to stay with? Your father or your mother? And they said, we want to stay with mother. So they followed their mother to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father stayed in the desert and died on his way. As a child, so they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She told him her story, and the Prophet liked her story a lot. And then she said, this is my child. Take care of him. Let him, you know, do some work for you, household chores. You can send him on errands and all that. Because she was building a foundation for the child. She wanted the child to be under the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he would learn the deen. This is a good mother. And the quality that she had was, somebody who was a kafir came to her and said he wanted to be her husband. The man was very attractive, very nice looking man. A man that most women would give their right arm to have a husband. But she said, you know, you are not somebody who should be rejected by a woman. Except that you are a kafir and I'm a Muslim and I can't marry you because a Muslim woman should not marry a kafir. So he said, no, you're probably just thinking I don't have money. That's why you don't want to marry me. She said, no, that's not the case. I'm not interested in your money. I'm interested in your faith. But you can test me. If you embrace Islam, that will be my man. That will be my dowry. I don't want you to pay anything, not even a dime. Just be a Muslim. Be a true Muslim. And you're my husband, the man said. He went and reflected over that. And finally, he actually committed to Allah and embraced Islam. And then when they came to the Prophet only blessed the marriage. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So, the ideal husband is the one who fears Allah. And that's what the sister must look out for in the man. He must be somebody who has ability to take care of the family, and he must be somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fear of Allah has to do with a lot of things. The ability to take care of the family has to do with a lot of things. Provide the family security, provide the family education, provide the family food to eat, clothes to wear, and things like that. And provide compassion. Sometimes you make time to make your family happy. It is permissible to crack jokes and exam, but the jokes must not contain lies. They must not be vulgar, and they should have some lessons to learn. You can crack some jokes with your family, make them laugh or teach them lessons. and don't eat that anything vulgar. And don't tell lies in your story. Tell the truth. If it's fiction, tell them if you're just making it up. Let them see that you're just making it up, you want to teach the lesson. Or better still, you can joke about things that are true and make them laugh, but then make them learn from it. Sometimes you can tease your wife, carry your wife on your shoulder, you know, and run around the house with her and show her that you are a strong man. Sometimes you take her in your arms like this, you know, and talk her around and say, hey baby,